You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Hi, this is Kyrie Shelton from New York City FC, and you're listening to The Cooligans.
Hi, I'm RJ Allen for New York City Football Club, and you're listening to The Cooligans.
This is Ian Joy, and you're listening to The Cooligans.
Thank you so much, guys. We are back.
We are back. Welcome to the show.
Cooligans, yet another episode.
How are you, Alexis?
I'm pretty excited. I'm not going to lie. We've talked about some of our European allegiances in the past.
We have. And you've been very clear about those allegiances for a very long time.
I was very upset at you for choosing against my team. Seems to have been the luckiest thing that could have happened was to get you and your rotten, cursed ways off of our ship.
Because now everything Arsenal is sort of enveloping both our lives.
Yeah. I mean, you know, and I think at the end of the day, you can't escape it. And that's what makes me happy.
I think that's what it is. You know, when I was picking what European team I was going to support, I didn't really have any, you're not really built in. You don't have any built-in hatred toward any team. I feel like when Americans choose a European team,
yeah,
they're choosing because usually people pick teams if they're British, they live in England, and
right.
And so you support the team that's in your
local, or maybe if you have an affiliation to another town.
Correct. So for us, it's like it's much more calculated, the decision.
Yeah, it's more of a cosmopolitan choice versus a geographical choice.
Correct,
or
yeah,
some type of family attachment.
So I didn't.
And you have no family ties to England whatsoever.
No. My accent, my skin color, yeah. There's nothing connected.
Nothing British about you.
Except the fact that I say cheers a lot. I like saying cheers.
You do. You are a big cheers.
Yeah.
You don't say mate though.
No, that would be.
People I have friends that say mate.
Really?
He's my mate. What's up, mate?
That's, I don't know, someone from here saying that?
Yeah, and they're kind of, what
if someone said, if someone's
Anglophiles, right? Was that they call them when they're like big, they kind of like...
Is that, Anglophiles are people who love people with terrible teeth?
I don't know.
Isn't that what it is?
Right for the low hanging fruit, which you can't bite because you have bad teeth. I think it's Anglophile. Anglophile might be the people. Audiophile. That's the music lovers. Anglophile. I think Anglophiles are the ones who love like British culture and they mimic it in every way. Like they dress like it and they kind of act. I have a few friends that are like that, but
mate, I would be weirded out. It's one of my friends. I would think if someone said mate, I would think they were in a gay relationship and they were just like, that's what they call.
Even if they said it to you, hey mate. And you're like, well, I guess that's it.
I'm glad it's legal now.
Yeah, I got a boyfriend. Didn't ask for it. Here I am.
We are going steady.
Jail rules. I hold this pocket that he pulls inside out. So he's just one of those guys. It's funny because I had a British friend who was around us and he was like, is he mocking me? And I'm like, no, that's just how he talks. He's mocking your whole country.
But it's a big week. A lot of stuff as an Arsenal fan. This is going to be a fun show. We got the MLS playoffs.
Yeah. We got a lot to talk about. A lot of things have been happening.
But the biggest news recently.
Oh, yeah. We know Jason Christ was let go.
We did talk about that last week.
Yeah. And a lot of questions as to who would replace him. There was a lot of names. Fabio Capello.
Correct.
Italian guy was ahead, you know, he led the Russian national team, led the English national team, you know.
But a perfect pairing for Pirlo.
Real Madrid. I mean, he tried to bring Pirlo over to Real Madrid, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
So would have been great. And then there was his other name, Patrick Vieira.
Yes.
Which I know him from my youth as being the greatest defensive midfielder. And there's some controversy there because controversy, I added an H for no reason. Well, he added an I to his last name. I'll add an H. A little bit of a controversy because he wasn't your prototypical defensive midfielder in the sense that he looked for forwards making runs first. And he was sort of loved to track forward. He was more of an attacking defensive midfielder, but he protected the back line. He stopped attacks from happening. Arsenal hasn't had someone who did that until really Francis Coquelin. Now he's been that. Yeah. I mean, it's been that long and he left Arsenal in 2002, if I'm not mistaken. So there was a good period of time there that he wasn't around. Right. So fast forward to today, we still love Patrick Vieira because we haven't had someone like him to protect our back line. And I've talked about a lot in the 4-3-3 that, NYCFC likes to play, which is sort of like a weird 4-2-3-1, 4-3-3 blend. You need someone who protects the back line. Kyle Beckerman did that. If you're going to do the diamond 4-4-2.
I guess we had Andrew Jacobson.
We had, but it's not his natural position. For a while, Poku looked like he would be that guy. And a lot of comparisons to Patrick Vieira came up in that preseason game when he looked up. He saw Tony Taylor making that run, launched a long ball at him. Tony Taylor trapped it, scored. It was amazing. A lot of comparisons to Yaya Toure, who is a modern day Patrick Vieira, at least in the last few years, maybe not this year. So there was a lot of comparisons. Very important position. Since then he's been more of a Man City guy because he's been
And that's actually, it's kind of interesting because you would think that Patrick Vieira probably had a hand in Yaya Toure's development.
Well, certainly. I'm sure he was a voice in his ear. I mean, Yaya Toure is one of those guys who, you know, came in with a good amount of sort of that skill. But yeah, I mean, look, he's developed into something that's been great. Sorry about that. He's developed into something that's been great at Man City. And if Patrick Vieira had nothing to do with that, I'd be very surprised because that is his that's his forte.
Yeah,
and man, he is good.
I don't know exactly how to, not that I don't know how to feel. I don't know whether to be, I guess I am excited because I hear the name Patrick Vieira.
That's, you know it. You've heard it.
I've heard
captain
it before.
Of the French national team.
Yeah. Definitely a much more, a name with more global recognition. I didn't know who Jason Christ was before. Before he wasn't a household name by any means.
I mean, he was to MLS fans because everyone looked at him as like the greatest American coach. So like, here's the thing. Jason Christ being fired made the ticker on ESPN.
Yes.
That's big news.
And Vieira being hired has been all over the ticker on ESPN too.
All over.
Yeah.
And I think this is the promise of NYCFC. Some people are saying that this is proving Patrick Vieira coming in as our manager, which I don't know if we said he's coming in as our manager. There's been a couple different camps people have put themselves in, fans and non-fans. One of the big ones I hear is, oh, they're making a mistake by bringing in a European coach. European coaches don't really succeed in the MLS. Very few have. I believe Winter was the last one to win anything as a European coach. They don't get the MLS. You've heard this before, right?
Yeah.
And look, we've got a lot of weird roster rules, weird in comparison to the way the rest of the world does it. And I get we're America, we're going to do things our own way, but it's just not everyone is familiar with it. You have, you know, in Europe, you can coach differently. You can tell a guy, hey, do what I'm saying or else we'll buy someone in a few months that's better in your position. You can't do that here.
Yeah.
You know, you don't have the cap space for it. You know, there's all these discovery drafts. You yourself, I've had to explain a lot of different allocation drafts, discovery draft. There's been a lot to explain to you as you've sort of now become more of a fan of the MLS through NYCFC. And a lot of it I've had to look up myself because I'm like, I know this. I just don't know how to explain it.
Yeah.
It's very difficult. So there's a big learning curve for being a manager. So there's people who think he won't be able to do it. Here's what I say to those guys. Patrick Vieira, he managed and controlled the development squad and the reserve squad at Man City.
Yeah.
Those aren't two squads you can go buy someone. You literally have to win with what you have.
Yeah.
And if you need someone, you call them up from the academy. That's it. You know, that's basically what he has to do at MLS. Now he doesn't understand the roster rules, but as far as being able to, you need to be more of a teacher, than a
general manager or
what I'm saying is like, if there's something that a player isn't doing, you have to coach them on how to do it versus coaching them through pressure of letting, you know what I mean?
There's no threat that we're just going to get rid of you.
Yeah. Cause you're not, you know, kind of a part of an MLS player is like, well, I mean, you know, what are you going to do? Sit me? Okay. I'm still going to get paid. Yeah. You know, you're not going to get rid of me. I'm not out of a job, you know? So it's a little different. I think he can do that. I think he has the capability to manage under that type of condition because he's done it as a reserve and development squad. And here's the other thing. We're allowed to bring in 4 development squad players. Jason Christ only brought 2. Okay. And one of them was a late addition.
Facey and Angelino, right?
Yeah. Facey and Angelino, both from the elite development squad. Who knows those players better than Patrick Vieira? No one.
Yeah.
Not one person. he's the guy. So now we're going to have four great players. I assume we're going to get four.
Okay.
I was very frustrated when we didn't get four to begin with.
Mm-hmm.
Now I assume we're going to get four. So now we're going to have four great players from the elite development squad. I think it's going to be better. The other camp people are in are saying, well, this goes to prove that NYCFC is a farm team for Man City. And while I believe that that's not the case as far as a long term, if right now people in Europe, especially in a level of like the Premier League, which people sometimes MLS fans don't want to hear this. I get this. We're not at the level of Premier League, but you know what we are? You know, Premier League is the number one in the world, league in the world as far as competition and whatnot. If people are starting to look at the MLS as a proper stepping stone before the Premier League, we've done an amazing job. Because if you go back 5 years ago, we were seen as a complete joke of a league.
Yeah.
Now we're comparable. Now we're like, hey, someone can go there and develop better and be prepared better for the Premier League, whether that's a manager, a coach, trainer, or a player. We've moved up. And I think if we keep progressing at the rate we have, we'll be at the level of, oh, well, they're too good to send someone there to develop. We'll send someone there when they don't fit our formation or something. You know what I mean? So those two camp. There's a couple other ones where like people think this is just a complete joke and a terrible hire. Look, who knows how he's going to be? I have all the confidence in the world. If he manages at the level that he played at, we're going to be just fine.
Exactly. That's sort of how I feel, where I think he, at the very least, is going to change the dynamic of the team. Obviously, bring a much more European style, or at least if his vision, he only has a European vision of the game. So if he brings that, it can't be worse than what we have.
True. Do you think? All right. So remember, there was a rumor that a top level player said, and we voiced our opinion on this.
Yeah.
That I'd rather lose than win for Jason Christ.
Yes.
Okay. The rumors are that was David Villa.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. How do you feel? Do you feel that Patrick Vieira will garner more respect from those bigger European names or the same amount as Jason Christ?
I mean, I think it has to be more. There's no other way. I mean, we met Jason Christ, right? Yeah,
sweetheart.
Sweet guy. I don't think that... our interaction with him sort of defined if he was a good coach or not.
I think that's it. I think the 30 seconds in which I asked too many questions during a training, I think it details everything you need to know.
I think a lot of people respond well to popular brands, right? And Patrick Vieira is a bigger brand than Jason Christ.
Here's the other thing. Jason Christ didn't take the chance to go to Europe. He stayed at MLS.
Mm-hmm.
And I think this is going to continue to cause a rift. European players don't respect MLS-only talent because, well, you didn't prove yourself in Europe, you know? Landon Donovan got a lot of respect from a lot of my European friends after he went to Everton and played incredibly well. Mm-hmm. I mean, he wasn't the number one person in the league. He wasn't the guy that everyone's like fawning over, but he showed up and he showed that he's not only good at that level, but he made the team a little better. He was able to sort of shuttle his position in a way where someone wasn't going to take over it. And it was a miss. They missed him when he was gone.
Yeah.
That's a big deal. Okay. Cause for a long time he's a joke, but he couldn't hack it at Bayern, you know? Now that Christ is gone and Christ had that thing of, well, he didn't go to Europe. He was afraid to go to Europe. He stayed in MLS where he was safe. When he managed at RSL, he managed only the people that he was, you know, it's his ex teammates. And you know, he hasn't really tested himself. And when he did, he failed miserably. People didn't respect him. Now you have Patrick Vieira who comes in, who has the medal of not only winning, but he was the captain of the French national team.
Yeah. I mean, that's a World Cup.
Yeah. That's a respect level right mm-hmm. there. I think he will. I agree with you. I think he will get the respect of the European players. The only thing I'm afraid of is European players are a small group of people on this team. Are you going to have the admiration and will you respect the American players?
Well, I'll say this. Even, you know, if it was David Villa who did say that about Jason Christ, as a fan of this team, and I'm not speaking generally about sports in general or about the MLS in general, but I think right. As a fan of this team, with the amount of respect that that Pirlo, Lampard, and Villa do get from the fans, from the other players, I think they're from their, and we show that to them in their paycheck, they should be leaders of the team. So the idea of a leader of the team saying, I'd rather lose than win from Jason Christ is poor leadership at the very least.
Okay. I'll counter say that and say, is it poor leadership or is it better leadership by saying, you know what, instead of letting this person ruin the team by being bad as a coach or not doing the things that he's supposed to do, I would rather if someone who is as, and look, if it was David Villa, I think that's the most damaging because who's put more on the line than David Villa? Yeah. He's put his body on the line. He
definitively, our best player, one of the best players in the league,
probably one of the hardest working DPs I think I've ever seen. He's come in and said, no, I want to leave it all out here. I want to play just as hard for here as I did for any team in Spain, which is wonderful. If he tells you, and that guy has nothing but respect, he's a soft-spoken, respectful guy. If he tells you he's willing to lose, which I don't think he's ever done in his career, that's got to tell you how bad it must have been to have Jason Christ as a manager.
Yeah, but it's
like you said, it's bad leadership. I tend, for some reason, I think he's done everything to earn my respect to
over Jason Christ.
Yeah, by far. Because there's been a lot of, look at how many times our lineup changed. I don't think we had a consistent lineup.
But look at that criticism that you know, the reports that you had heard and you put it out on Twitter. And how many
people you're talking about.
How many people defended Jason Christ?
But there's also, and while I agree, look, if I'm wrong, I'm wrong. But I will say this, and it, you know, a lot of people, you know, important people decided that I was wrong. but I will say this, that there's a slight curve that people grade Jason Christ with because he is, you know, the first American coach to be considered like, you know, tactically progressive. You know, he managed a team in a beautiful style. There's a lot of that. People are very pot committed. American soccer is very pot committed with Jason Christ. You know, for a while he was considered, you know, maybe a potential future men's national team, you know, manager or head coach, whatever you want to call him. You know, look, there's a lot there. There's a lot at stake for him to be successful. You know, he was the next great white hype as far as American soccer is concerned. So, you know, I sometimes I take a lot of that with a grain of salt and to say that, you know, yeah, I agree with you that, you know, he's important and he was good, but you know, look, he took a big risk by going with NYCFC and it didn't pay off.
Sure. I mean,
and he's not going to struggle for work. He'll find a job
after the season was over and sort of reflecting on how many lineup changes there were, you know, initially it's like, hey, this is an expansion team. They're still figuring things out. But the amount of changes that when I look back on them, I'm like, oh, this was not very typical of any team in the world.
No one. I mean, a Sunday league.
So many bold changes, especially with the defensive, the back four.
Here's the other thing, players that are scoring, you know, this guy scores, you know, what was it? Poku scored two starting at Cosmos. And if I'm not mistaken, he didn't start the next match. What are you doing?
Yeah.
You know, like Tommy Mack would score off. He's off the start. He's not a starter the next. What could he have possibly done in training? You know, this guy's proven to you that they can score. And there's never been an explanation of it. And maybe Jason Christ does an interview soon and he explains why, and maybe it's a good answer. I don't think he's going to have one. I can't imagine why you treat a club that way. It just doesn't make any sense.
It's interesting because the statement that the team put out after firing Christ,
right?
They did mention how there were these stipulations where they you know, basically prerequisites. You know, he should have met these goals to basically keep his job. About
right,
essentially, at least one win in every three matches. At least you making it to the playoffs, and.
Which, I mean, it is a bit of a cop out. No,
that's sort of what I'm getting to. That it seems like it's not true. Like, I don't think that was actually a stipulation.
Well, They said it was. It was out. Like, it was reported in the beginning of the season.
Was that real?
Yeah, because Glenn Crooks, who wonderful, you know, does the he calls the games on WCBS on WFAN for NYCFC. He wrote an article which I think. you know, comes from both points of view that, yeah, he should have been fired. No, he shouldn't. And from the point of, well, here's where something didn't sit well with him, which is we knew from the beginning of the season that the playoffs is what they thought. And NYCFC had almost, or CFG, City Football Group, had kind of intimated that, you know, they thought they could win the cup this year. So playoffs were, they absolutely said that playoffs were considered a successful season. And then at some point towards the end of the season, in the last two matches, or right when, I forget what it was, after DC, when we did get officially mathematically bounced out, Jason Christ did an interview with Glenn Crooks where in the, you know, the post game, and he said, hey, you know, it's not like we had a goal set for the season. And Glenn was like, well, yeah, in the beginning of the season, everyone said the playoffs were the goal. So we did know. And Jason Christ said we didn't have a firm goal. So there's a little bit of that on both sides, you know, and I'd hate to take the anti Jason Christ side because that's not who I am. That's not, I wasn't anti him. I did think maybe he needed to be fired or at least have more of a stern, you know, I guess goal put in front. I mean, he had one and he didn't hit it. So, you know, sometimes you got it's business. It ain't personal.
He didn't hit the goal. He just constantly hit the post.
Boy, was he hitting that post almost on purpose. Empty goal. No one in front. Bangs it off the post. I mean, look,
reflecting back on the season, it does seem like all those changes were either like he'd, it almost seems like he didn't have any real goals put in place. No. Or any real, you know, any goals to essentially keep his job, or he had those things were in place and he was scrambling like, hey, I need to change this. Cause I really need to meet that goal of winning one.
You think he was taking a dive?
No. I think he was either trying anything he could or he basically was experimenting with the team because he thought he had more time.
Okay, so you're like, oh, you think like he's like, oh, it's first season.
Exactly. I think he thought he had a longer leash, which is why he.
Well, that's a mistake every time.
Tinkered around. That's
he's not the owner. Jeez, what's this guy doing? I mean, the way it seems to me now that we look back is like, imagine every time you came home, your girl changed the furniture. And you were like, okay, I like this. This is good.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, okay, cool. And then you left. And when you came back home, it was changed again. You're like, why'd you change it again?
Yeah, I liked it before.
Okay, now I like this one. Okay.
All right, so leave it like this.
So let's not move anything. I put my foot up. It seems perfect. So we're going to leave it. And you're like, yeah, of course. Because we agree this is great. Yes. And then you leave and you come back and guess what happened?
What happened?
She changed it again. You know what I mean? And you're like, come on, are we going to do this all season? And she's like, yeah. And you're like, remember when I first met you, I told you that I thought we should be engaged with him. We're not getting engaged. You've moved the furniture too much. We need to break up.
I would say, I think getting Iraola and Angelino were a mistake.
Angelino, I don't think so. Iraola seems like it. But I only say that because RJ Allen turned out to be so good.
Yeah.
And look, I mean, not a world beater. You know, he's not someone that's probably going to get looked at by Europe. I hope he does because I think he's very strong defensively. But man, did he play that position perfectly. He really played the outside back very well. You know, he stopped the players that he needed to. He had some really world-class attackers in his pocket. I mean, he stopped pretty much Jacobson and him almost single-handedly stopped Javinko. If I'm not, I may have the player incorrectly, the game, but whoever it was, I think it was Javinko.
It was the first match which they played in Toronto.
Yeah, Jacobson treated him like a rag doll. RJ Allen stayed with him. I mean, these were the times where we looked and said, okay, we don't need Iraola. And I know people are saying like, Iraola was so good where he came from. Sure. Did he play at a different level here? Did he expect it to be easier? Was he just a step behind? Because we know Americans tend to be a bit more athletic where we don't have the tactical acumen. At least we have the ability to run hard and try hard. Was that it? Was that what they couldn't understand or couldn't wrap their arms around? I don't know. But when you look around, it's like, it seemed to me like he was always scared to drop a European player. Except when it came to Grabovoi. Like Grabovoi always, I thought Pablo Alvarez made a lot of mistakes, but he played really well in some of those games. I mean, moving forward, attacking, somewhat creative. He was only brought in as like a favor to David Villa, but look, if he plays well, play him.
Yeah.
You know?
And I told you, I don't know if I mentioned it on the show, but I did invite Pablo Alvarez to Thanksgiving dinner with my family.
Did he go?
well, we haven't reached Thanksgiving yet. So I gotta, I think I might have to remind him that I didn't, the invitation is still open, Pablo. feel free to come by. But I did tell him at the NYCFC FIFA tournament. Very nice. This was, he was mentioning how this is his first Thanksgiving. He's never experienced Thanksgiving, and that he was really excited about it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, I don't mean to brag or anything.
I think now that you guys are best friends. So originally he was brought here to be best friends with Davia. And
well,
you,
no, I swooped in.
You swooped in.
I stole that dance.
Yeah. He is now ghosting David Villa, not responding to it. David's like, where's Pablo? Adonis Pablo? I don't know why he has a list for every letter.
Every single syllable.
Every syllable. Adonis Pablo. These kids are like, you need to chill. It's like when I went to LA and I came back and my New York accent was hard, like was bigger.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It was a bit more dialed up. It's like, that's what happened to him. Sure. He becomes super, super Spanish. Yeah. Look, here's where we're at. We don't know what we have with Patrick Vieira.
Patrice Evra, yeah.
Patrice Evra. We don't know what we have because he should not be a manager. We don't know what we have with Vieira. I know this is hard, and because he's going to walk in and there's going to be a very large contingent of New York City fans that are like, you need to prove yourself right away. And the moment he loses, what did I tell you? European coach. But the one thing I have all zero doubt in is that he will get complete control of this entire squad. And he's probably going to be a bit more hands-on on the development side, which I have talked about
you
nonstop.
Ad nauseum.
I will not stop until we have a full academy and we have...
And you are the principal.
Yeah. I want to be there. I will be... You can call me Mr. Belvedere, whatever you want to call me. Mr. Belding, if you want, yeah. Which is probably what I meant to say. But I will not stop until we have an NYCFC 2 because we need depth. It was proven this year. We need a place
for
these players.
We need girth.
We need girth. We need it all, baby. Okay? We're just a bunch of female porn stars waiting for the good stuff. We need depth in our squad. And we need a place to develop these youth players because I've said it before and I'll say it again. We have almost the same population. We have a bigger population than Uruguay and they're a world-class team.
Yeah.
As a city, we should be able to develop a world-class team on our own.
I agree.
And look at the Red Bulls. Look how successful they've been so far.
Yeah, yeah.
And looking like the team that's going to win the MLS Cup, which is really going to shit on our happiness, at least mine. But looking like a team that's going to win the MLS Cup, and they've done it this year. Smart DP signings, so not top-level DP signings. They have two, Sasha Kleshton and Bradley Wright Phillips. They gave him a DP contract. Certainly earned it. And with their depth, with the ability to have RB2 and to have a place for all of these guys coming in to play amazing because they have a place for them to have competitive soccer.
Well, for when people make that accusation that NYCFC is just Manchester City's farm team, even if that's the case, who cares? That's still pretty great, you know. Even if we have
if our goal is to be like a top,
of course,
league in the world, you don't want to be anyone's farm.
But if we, have,
but right now, you're saying,
introducing Patrick Vieira as the manager makes creates this. I don't know if you know how many other teams have done this, but they're bringing essentially a full European model of how to run a team. They tried, I don't think they gave Christ enough of a chance, but if they just go in now and they're like, oh, you know what? We tried the American way. Okay. Yeah. Like, no, we're just going to do it the way we do it in England. And now we have a person at the top that immediately gets it. And we can just go from there.
Yeah, as opposed teach to teach them your cute rules and we'll run it the way we run everything else.
Exactly. As opposed to, you know, they without a doubt, they must have had, you know, debate or arguments with Christ. You know, he must have dealt with ownership and management and had so many disagreements over who he wanted or who he didn't want. He reportedly did not want Pirlo.
Supposedly no one wanted him except CFG management.
Okay. So Now you're going to have a group of people that.
But can I say something? I mean, you were there when he came out onto that pitch for the first time.
It was the greatest moment.
It was electric.
Yeah.
It was one of those things where people would not stop commenting about it. We did a video afterwards asking people, hey, what'd you think? And people were like, you know, it was a magical moment. So maybe he wasn't perfect on the pitch. And there's that vine of him not even moving on the corner kick,
where Higuain scored.
Yeah. Oh, and yeah, it hurt and it sucks. But I think it was the Revs.
Okay.
It was against the Revs. It sucks and I get it. And you know, it looks like he's here on vacation.
Not all the time.
Obviously, he's not going to do that with Vieira.
Like any player, he's made some mistakes. You miss markings sometimes.
Yeah. I mean, it seemed like he was looking in a mirror, you know, but he's not going to do that.
Can you blame him though?
He respects Patrick Vieira. He's not going to. And it sucks to say he didn't, but you knew he didn't respect Christ. He didn't know who Jason Christ was. He knows who Patrick Vieira is.
Correct.
He respects Patrick Vieira, and Patrick Vieira basically played the position he's playing. So you can't front on Patrick Vieira. He played the same position at roughly the same level, you know, certainly not the maestro, but he played it at the same level. He won, you know, he won UEFA Cups. He won Champions League. He won, Premier League, World Cups, Premier Leagues. You can't fuck with his medal.
The resume speaks for itself.
Yeah, the CV is there. So at the end of the day, I mean, Pirlo respects Vieira, didn't respect Jason Christ. And this is something that's going to keep running into until American players start to play at a high level in Europe.
Well, I think now the issue with Christ and almost with any American coach is that the player that you have there is probably going to have a bigger ego than the coach himself.
Yeah.
And again, the resume of the player is probably going to be clearly outweigh anything the coach is gonna any sure. criticism the coach is gonna have
sure
so but
which didn't happen at Real Salt Lake because he was bigger than all those players
exactly and now you have a definitive legend
yeah
and he's gonna be calling the shots so anybody's like who's if Pirlo now. Vieira has the power and the weight to say, oh, Pirlo, he's not doing what I'm asking him to do. Let's get rid of Pirlo. And manager's going to be like, okay, well, they'll at least consider it.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, no, Vieira's the alpha. And, you know, this has reared its ugly head over in Los Angeles. Bruce Arena is not happy with Steven Gerrard.
Mm-hmm.
Steven Gerrard is talking about possibly going back to Liverpool now that Klopp is there.
Mm-hmm. They don't want him though, right?
And I think for my money, I'm pretty sure. I mean, I don't know the up to date. I haven't been up to date on this. I don't have any sources. Okay. So everyone can calm down. But just gut feeling, I think this is Bruce Arena's way of maybe getting rid of him because he doesn't think he played too hard. He said at the last playoff game that he said, do you think it was the player's fault in the end? There was something alluding to, do you think it was part of Steven Gerrard's fault? And he said a little bit of both, meaning yes. And it may not only be his fault, but yeah, he was at fault, which, you know, oh, big name DPs and marketing. You don't want to ever shame them. It seems like he was willing to put his ass on the line there. So it looks like Gerrard is gone. I don't think he will be because I think he enjoys living in Los Angeles. But there's a little bit of a chance he goes back to Liverpool.
I just hate that level of condescension that some of the players are capable of. Like, dude, he lost plenty at Liverpool. What is the, like, you've lost in several places.
Yeah.
What, like, the idea that you come, he's a good player. That's fine.
Yeah.
But the idea that you're not good enough, you're not to start blaming everybody else for the loss. It's a team loss, just like every team sport.
Sure.
There's not there's not one or two things that a specific player could have done to prevent the loss. You had two games. That was the knockout one. Yeah. They lost. So whatever. So that's part of the game.
Yeah, and part of being Steven Gerrard is his ability to come back and try to win again. By the way, he won nothing with Liverpool, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, they were hoping his last season they were able to get to at least, you know, what was it? I believe it was the FA Cup final. I mean, they were trying to do everything for, you know.
I think he's not used to being in a country where no one really knows what he does.
Yeah.
And not many people really respect him.
Yeah.
And I think it's a little bit difficult to adjust when you left and you left a country where you they would consider putting you on the damn flag.
Yeah, I mean, especially in Liverpool. I mean, he's a Liverpool kid. He married like the daughter of like the biggest. The guy who controlled Liverpool, like apparently the biggest firm boss,
okay.
which used to be like the mafia, like their version of the mafia, like the leader of Liverpool's daughter. Like he's like Mr. Liverpool, where he played his whole life. Like he lived there. Like that was him. That's like being Mr. New York your whole life. And then going and playing in Croatia, you know, whatever, I don't know, lacrosse or something they don't care about there just yet. You know, some people are going to love you. Some people won't care. Like even Frank Lampard made the joke that when him, Villa and Pirlo went out to dinner, they only cared about Pirlo. Like they were treating Pirlo like he was a god and they forgot about the other two. And they're like, yeah, you know, we're famous too. Okay. Yeah, that kind of stuff happens, especially in a place like LA where, yeah, Steven Gerrard, people might know who you are, but if, you know, Angelina Jolie walks by, you're no longer important, you know, sorry.
You're just another tall white guy. Yeah,
get out of the way. You pale son of a bitch. Get out of the way.
Why do you sound like that?
Yeah. Get your horrible accent and your horrible skin tone out of the way of my view of Angelina Jolie. And this is Angelina Jolie, well past her prime. If it was Jessica Alba, they would push you out of the way, Stephen. Well,
in reality, he could probably stand in front of Angelina Jolie and we could see through him.
See through
and see her perfectly.
Right. See his through his Larry Bird-like skin. Yeah, look. So there's a lot there, obviously. Look, some of the European players, this has been a problem since day one. And when you run a league that markets these players, that treats them like gold and treats them, I mean, look at the way Giovinco's being paid. Look at the way Villa's being paid and Pirlo's being paid so much more than your average
player.
They're
being paid. Also, that should be enough, you know?
It isn't, because they come from getting paid, you know? And they spent their whole lives being pampered. Look at, you know, look at these, you look at NBA and NFL, like these high school football stars.
Yeah,
they act like ass.
They come from, they got all this money or whatever, but they also are playing games in, you know, different lakes in England. Like it's just cloudy.
You're getting to live in Los Angeles.
You're getting to live in Los Angeles.
People are paying you to live in somewhat of a paradise.
It's pretty dope.
Yeah. Could just stop being the way you are is what you're asking. I agree. Let's see do you think Patrick Vieira will get, well, let's start. All right. So two things, and we'll hold you to this. One is there going to be a lot of roster turnover?
Yeah. I'm like, that's the thing I'm most afraid of.
Who would you be afraid to see gone?
RJ Allen, Hernandez.
Hernandez can leave as far as I'm concerned. No, RJ Allen, I want to stay.
I think they're both great.
Hernandez played somewhat well at center back. I think we could find a better center back for sure. Our defensive line was terrible. RJ Allen, as far as I'm concerned, and Angelino were the only two shining lights back there. And Angelino's gone. So
and Kyrie. I think those are the ones I'm like afraid that they may get rid of.
Kyrie's not going anywhere because he's a rookie and he's on a rookie contract. My biggest fear is Poku.
Sure.
I think if Poku leaves,
I think he's going to
be insane somewhere else. But I think we'll be able to get so much for him that I have a feeling he's going to sell him. And I'm very afraid of that because I know that's one of those guys we're going to look back and say he could be doing all those things he's doing for that other club for us. And if he, which I believe he will be at some point sold to a European team, we stand to make some good money for that.
Sure. I mean, hopefully, City Football Group will have heard the constant chants of "We want,"
or seen the tifos. Tifos.
I mean, hopefully they acknowledge that. And
will they care? Right. And the other thing I want to know: do you think we'll make the playoffs under Patrick Vieira's first year?
We will.
So you're saying you're here first?
I swear by the tears of David Villa that we will make the playoffs.
I agree. I think we're making the playoffs. Here's the other thing. I think we're going to have a lot of roster turnover. But I think part of it is, I think Grabovoi is going to go follow Christ wherever he goes, hopefully. No offense. I think Tommy Mack hopefully gets a chance to start, if not here, somewhere else, because he deserves it.
Mm-hmm.
I could see him shining in a place like Chicago. Hopefully, you know, Poku, RJ Allen, I would love for T-Mac to stay. I think Kyrie's going to be here, and I think he's finally going to start running into those wings and those flanks, and he's going to start stretching the defense.
That'd be great.
And I can't wait to see it. So, look, I'm a little bit up, because it's Patrick Vieira. He's an Arsenal guy. I know you're not, but I think we're going to be very happy.
I think it's going to be fine. I have no ill will towards Patrick Vieira.
A lot of Vieira kits going to be in Yankee Stadium next year. I can feel it.
So it's going to be fun. Next segment, we'll talk some MLS playoffs. Great weekend.
A lot of exciting stuff happening, so we'll be right back.
It's official. Patrick Vieira is the new coach of New York City FC. The former Arsenal midfielder has signed a 3-year contract with the MLS club beginning on January 1st. Once in the United States, the 1998 World Cup winner will debut as head coach of the first team, who play their home games at Yankee Stadium. Since 2013, Vieira has been the coach of Manchester City's under-21 side. He's relinquished that role after a proposition from the club's owners, who also own the American franchise. At New York City, the 39-year-old Frenchman will manage some big names, most notably Frank Lampard, David Villa and Andrea Pirlo. He has a job on his hands though. The team finished 8th out of 10 clubs in the Eastern Conference last season.
So we are talking MLS playoffs.
MLS playoffs has been super exciting.
Yeah.
The ratings haven't been great.
Yeah, they haven't.
Which is a shame because they've honestly been probably the most exciting brand of footy I've seen in a long time.
I definitely say the Dallas-Seattle series and the Columbus-Montreal series have been the most exciting in my opinion.
Man, Dallas-Seattle.
Heavy hitters.
You can't put it down. I'm just sitting there watching it going, please don't ever let this end. I kind of wish it was 7 games, you know, in the most American way possible. Yeah, I mean, it was exciting all the way around. It drew pretty well. 339,000 on Fox Sports 1. Not terrible.
Not at all.
And look, ratings, TV ratings have been a big issue. From the beginning, you know, and these games were played on a Sunday. NFL football is happening.
Yeah, it's difficult.
That's a tough thing to compete against. I know Seattle didn't have a game that day, so you would expect more people to watch. But Dallas, come on, you know, no one in Dallas pays attention. I was talking to a couple from Dallas and I was like, oh, you guys FC Dallas fans? I'm like, what?
What's that? Cowboys?
Yeah. After Cowboys. Dallas, I'll kill you. You know, they don't know what you're saying. Whitecaps, Timbers. Okay. Not too big. Two big non-markets.
No, I wouldn't say it. Portland has a big.
They're not a big market.
Well, market TV-wise. Or fan base. I get big, fan base.
Very attractive fan base. One of the very, best. Very stern fan base. A very small media market. Same thing with the Vancouver. 221,000. Neither of which have an NFL team. So, you know, you would hope that would have been a higher number.
I mean, they're close enough to Seattle where people probably.
Oh, no. Those two cities hate each other.
But they I mean.
I highly doubt anyone in Portland watches the Seahawks.
Really?
No, yeah.
I think they do.
They're just wearing Trailblazers jerseys, just waiting for the season to start. Or it already started. New York Red Bulls versus DC United, which, by the way, last year, even though it was on a Saturday. Last year on NBC, on the main, on the big boy channel, drew 607,000 fans. Not a big number, 607,000, 0.6.
Not bad. I mean, not bad.
Not terrible, right? This year on ESPN, another big channel, 242,000.
And then, Little League softball got 6.4 million.
Watching 12-year-old Dominicans. 12 million people watched. You know, tough. Columbus, Montreal, two very tiny markets. Drew 259,000, so beat Red Bulls DC. Now, the other thing was DC didn't even get a shot on goal in their own home in the first leg.
Mm-hmm.
So it made sense that maybe not a lot of people were going to watch the second leg to just see them be decimated.
Mm-hmm.
And that's exactly what happened. Red Bulls are looking very good. I still think DC United has what it takes. FC Dallas has what it takes to knock them down if they get into the MLS Cup. But I don't think Don Garber wants to see that. I don't think they want to see Dallas versus New York. I don't think that's the big one. They probably want the Red Bulls in there.
What do you think Garber wants? What do you think best matchup?
New York, Portland. Of the teams that are left, New York, Portland seems like the best mix because Columbus. Or Dallas would be bad. Columbus, Portland would be Columbus. Anything would be bad. Although, I mean, they have, you know, Columbus has a great team too.
I mean, if we're talking about ratings, are we talking about ratings or quality of the game?
Don Garber. You think Don Garber cares about anything besides ratings? I mean, let's be honest.
Yeah, yeah.
So, you do think he does?
No, I don't think he does.
100% does not.
That was a sarcastic, yeah.
We'll retweet this on the Cooligans here so you guys can see what I'm talking about as far as ratings are concerned. I can't imagine. You have to have New York in there, hoping that that brings in the actual New York City. You want to know what's shocking? Have you seen some of the NYCFC fans going to Rebel Arena?
I have not seen that.
Yeah, a couple of NYCFC groups have been posting photos.
Oh,
of NYCFC fans. Now we know NYCFC fans. Some of them used to be Red Bulls fans, but not allowed to go back just because they're. I mean, if I were the Red Bulls fans, I would not want these people in my arena.
Are they wearing NYCFC like gear?
No, some of them wearing Red Bull gear.
Oh, that's all right.
That's a big no-no.
That is a big no-no.
That's about as plastic as it gets for both sides. By the way, not just NYCFC. That throws Red Bulls under the bus too.
But that's not worse than picking your opposing team in FIFA 16.
I don't think there's a worse. I don't think there's a worse sin.
Well, let me fill people in
let's pull up the numbers.
They don't know what we're talking about. Yeah, well,
looks like your buddy Alexis might have been right.
Let's pull up the number. So Alexis and I got into a very heated debate over our iPhones. We just over text message because Alexis posed the question: "Hey, would you pick?" So if you're playing FIFA, the video game.
Yeah.
Okay. The video game. And you are and you have a team that you support, right? You if Alexis is an Arsenal fan to the day he dies.
Right. As we know, I am Patrick Vieira. Welcome.
And if his scenario they made up was basically if you are an Arsenal fan and you pick Manchester United. You pick Tottenham.
Oh, I can't imagine anyone doing that.
You are an Arsenal fan.
This is now FIFA. And by the way, let me not just for a regular exhibition game for fun. Although even then I expect you to pick your favorite team. But let's say your favorite team is like Stoke or who's playing pretty well. Let's Sunderland. Mm-hmm. That's your favorite team. And you're going to play your buddy and your buddy picks Manchester United.
You think Sunderland is playing well?
No. Who's not playing well?
Oh, okay. Okay.
And your buddy who's, you know, comes in and picks like Manchester United or Arsenal or Man City. I don't expect you to pick Sunderland.
Yeah, because you're going to get crushed.
You're going to get crushed. And it's an exhibition. So those rules, I'm not talking about. But like career mode or online or, you know, you can pick your favorite team.
Yes.
How dare you not pick your favorite team? You have to pick the one you support and you have to play with them no matter what.
Yes. I completely understand that philosophy. So I told him. So first of all, he did mention this. But also, he also sounded like a maniac while he was saying all of these things.
Maniac only because I'm passionate. Maniac only to you, which holds no passion whatsoever for the sport.
So I said, well, it's a video game. If you can pick other teams. What's the big deal? It's like if you're playing Mortal Kombat and your favorite player is Scorpion.
That is not the same.
Wouldn't you want to learn how to play with Sub-Zero from time to time? Wouldn't that be kind of fun?
Because you don't follow Sub-Zero's career around in real life. You don't live in Sub-Zero's hometown.
So because it is a video game, I am not as emotionally attached because I'm not buying season tickets for this other team. So I don't really see myself picking another team as this big slight on the team I support.
If you pick Liverpool as an Everton fan. Now,
correct. Yes.
If I were a Toffee, an Everton fan, I wouldn't let you be a fan of Everton anymore. You're not allowed to come to the events I'm at. You're just not allowed.
Yeah. Yeah. Like the friendship is severed.
I would even go so far as to say that if your friend came in and Everton was having a very bad year by FIFA standards, didn't have a great team to play with in FIFA, and I came in and I chose Arsenal, you still are not allowed to at least choose Liverpool. You're allowed to go pick United and City and some of these other. You're not allowed under no circumstances would I, as an Arsenal fan, under zero circumstances am I allowed to ever click on Tottenham ever.
You can't even scroll over them. You can't.
No, I want you to find a way to avoid
them. You'll go reverse.
Back the way.
Go back the other way.
Back the other way. All the way around. Go make four lefts. It's the only way you make a right in this town. You're not allowed under any circumstances. Four lefts is a circle, by the way. That doesn't make any sense, but you know what I mean.
Well, it would be a square, not a circle.
Well, you know what I mean. It's full, we come around full, whatever. All right. You're just not allowed under any circumstances to ever pick Liverpool now, to like Liverpool. You can be appreciative of some of the players after they've left. Like now I have much more of an appreciation for Gareth Bale, kind of a glass jaw, but whatever. But when he was wearing the shirt, and Robbie Keane is the same way, not allowed under any situation to like that team, pick that team, play with that team, even under like exhibit, you know, when like you, the game comes out where you can download and there's like only six teams. So if your rival is
demo,
one of them,
you can't even pick them in the demo.
You've only got five teams now. That's it. Do you think under any circumstances, the last time I played a demo, Boca Juniors was in it?
Mm-hmm.
Not the team you want to pick, by the way, because it's like Boca Juniors versus Juventus and Arsenal and Borussia Dortmund. I love Boca and everything, but come on, you guys don't hang out that level.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think any River Plate fans would have opened that game up and ever chosen Boca? If so, their hands would have been chopped off by a machete.
I'm completely understanding of a person who would not want to pick a team they do not support or the rival of the team that they do support.
Mm-hmm.
But the idea of getting angry
yes.
at a person for picking them.
Wait, that's just the point. If you're not allowed, if you're in a union and you're not allowed to take a 20-minute cigarette break, you only get a 15 and your buddy takes a 5 extra minutes, you're allowed to get angry at that person.
It's almost like this Daniel Murphy of the Mets got in big trouble.
Big
recently
trouble.
Because
he opened his yapper.
He was talking about, he's a devout Christian, right?
Yeah, and a devout homophobe,
and
apparently.
He mentioned that he didn't say I hate gay people. All he said was I don't approve of the lifestyle, but I like love the person, not the sin or whatever.
Yeah, I actually didn't read his comments. I just assumed he was a major homophobe.
No, not all baseball players are homophobic.
Right.
But he did say that he was like, love the sin, not the sinner, basically. So that's an easy.
Love the sinner, not the sin. You said the other one.
Yeah, exactly. Correct.
Yeah. So I'm all about the gay lifestyle. The people. I can take them or leave them. Not a big fan. But what they do, I'm all about. That's a very odd stance. To be like, I'm a pro.
It's
guess.
Hate the sin, not the sinner. That's yeah. I said it wrong. I said love the sin, not the sinner. So. So that's sort of it's sort of the same philosophy.
No, it isn't. Don't put me in that camp ever.
I'm saying
it's the exact opposite. I'm saying you know you have a rule, and you have every right.
What rule? Okay, so the
rule is you if you support a team. Yes,
it's perfectly fine if you live this way.
Yeah, I'm imposing this rule on everyone now.
Correct. That's
because this is the rule. And you know what? 74% of people agreed with
me. How many people voted?
19.
So, I wouldn't say it's enough for a sound.
That's a
enough
sample
of a study.
That is a sample of the fans of the Cooligans deciding they were going to clicking about. Forget the 19. And you know, frankly, you shouldn't have said anything. 74 sounded great to the people listening. 74% of however big a sample we chose.
Yeah.
And so, by the way, I could have voted with some of my other Twitter accounts, told my friends to vote. I could have done that. I didn't. I let the people speak, and the people have spoken and said an overwhelming amount. 3/4 of the people who voted said, I am 100% right, and actually tweeted and said, Christian is terribly wrong. And should no longer have an opinion on this. I may be making that last part
up. And I'll say this, because I do not pick teams that I do not support. I don't live in sin. Okay. I don't live right.
You're not choosing Liverpool.
I'm not choosing. I've never,
but you know, you're not allowed to either.
Okay, now I've learned that just a couple days ago through your very bold and capitalized text messages.
I'm very offended that I've chosen to start
I have
a
not
soccer
done,
comedic network with you and you didn't know that already.
I'm choosing to not hate a person for if they are an Everton fan and picking Liverpool almost under any circumstance. I would say if you are playing in a career mode or even on a season online, if you are picking Liverpool and when you are an Everton fan, I'm like, all right, well, you know what? I'm just going to make sure you never score against me.
I don't know. Like, you have to have less respect for that guy. You have to treat him the way Pirlo treated Christ and the way Villa treated Christ. I'm happy you're here, but I want you gone. Okay? Go do this somewhere else. You're no longer allowed. I would honestly say, Evan Davis, I will pose a question to him. He's one of our friends. Very funny comic, great writer, writes beat reporter for the women's national team and some of the women's league. He is also an Everton fan.
Yes.
That you chose him over me. and I will ask him, and now I'm very happy that you did, because I will ask him, and I guarantee you that we will come back and I will eat my words if I'm wrong, but I will tell you that he will say that he would not want you as an Everton fan if he found out you were playing career mode or online as Liverpool.
Of course, I would not pick Liverpool online or in career mode, but I would also not get angry at someone who was an Everton fan and did.
Yeah, but don't you think you should as an Everton fan?
I mean, how much of my passion and am I going to deliver to someone for not picking the team I support in a video game?
I mean, people get kicked out of supporters groups for not singing. And you act as though they can just willy-nilly pick the worst team possible for your team. The biggest rival. You could just, I think they're better on FIFA. It should break your soul to even admit that out loud.
That I won't get angry?
No, the other team is better.
I don't think the other team is better.
No, but it should break not you, your soul. You as an
am I going to get
sense.
Mad at them for wearing red shoes or
if
like
you're
how
a
far,
Crips member
how far should yes! it go?
If you're a Crips member,
this is how gang wars and Watts started.
Yes, but this is what soccer is about. It's choosing a side. Yeah. This is why it meant so much to me when you didn't pick Arsenal. Why I was very upset. And now after seeing your lack of ethics and morals when it comes to this sport, I am not only happy you didn't choose Arsenal, I am relieved I do not have to sit here and defend you to other Arsenal
fans. And it is not my ethics are in line with yours when it comes to supporting the team in real life.
Oh.
In virtual reality. I'm sorry if I waver.
It's part of it. That is, it's part of it. I don't know how else to explain it to you. The fact that you don't know this upsets me greatly.
I wouldn't pick Liverpool. I would never pick Liverpool. Listen. Right? So, that's the decision I've made that's the decision I made for myself and my family. Okay? Right now,
which I respect.
Okay? So,
man to man, I respect your decision. But I will say this. Right now, after this, we're going to play FIFA. Okay?
We are going to play. And we're also going to play FIFA at Upper 90 in Brooklyn.
That's right. We'll be there. I believe it's November 15th, if I'm not mistaken.
14th.
November 14th. Is that a Sunday?
It's a Sunday.
We'll be there at 4 p.m. The Cooligans will be there. We're going to be recording. So if you guys want to know, it is the 15th.
Oh, is it 15th? Uh-huh. I'm sorry.
November 15th, we'll be there at 4 p.m. on Atlantic Avenue in Burnham Hill at the Players Lounge, or the Players Lounge.
Yeah, it's a couple blocks away from the Barclays Center in Brooklyn.
Yeah, it's right there. It's great. Some great pizza places on the way there, by the way, if you guys want to grab a slice. A couple great places. Feel free to send me a tweet, and I'll tell you where. We're going to be there. So if you're going to be there, you can hang out with us, get on camera. We'd love to talk to you guys. The Cooligans will be filming something for as long as they let us, because God knows we haven't been allowed to film anywhere else. Come watch a bunch of 9-year-olds beat me and Polanco.
What if I win?
What do you mean you? What if I win? I don't know why.
I'm going to play with Tottenham and beat you, man.
I don't mind if you play with Tottenham because you're not an Arsenal fan. But if you play with the New York Red Bulls.
Sure. It's going to be all MLS.
MLS only. You're not allowed to be the Red Bulls. You know that, right?
I'm not going to pick. Are they going to assign? Do we get to pick the team? I don't even know how.
If you're assigned the Red Bulls without you choosing, that's fine.
Yeah.
But you have to throw the game. No, I'm kidding. You have to try to win. Just don't enjoy it too much. Sure. Is all. It's like an actor, like an actor's husband or wife. You can make out with this other person on camera, but don't let me see you get a boner, because then
correct,
you're out of the house. All right. Well, this has been a fun episode.
This has been fun. I still care about you very much.
I care about you. Incredible amount. So much that I want to help you. I want to help you learn the rules.
Show you the way.
Yeah. Listen, we have a lot that we talked about. If you've enjoyed the episode, make sure you subscribe, hit 5 stars, tell your friends, grab your friend's phone and hit subscribe. We would love to get to know more and more of you. And I know a lot of fans take this break here to not really pay attention to too much soccer, but look, we're trying to entertain you guys. So yeah. Thank you so much for listening. You guys have been a blast. My name is Alexis Guerreros.
My name is Christian. Definitely picks Everton all the time. Polanco.
This has been a blast. Thank you so much for listening. We are the Cooligans.
We are.